My original general manager, president of the Drillers, was Glenn Dobbs.
You remember Glenn Dobbs? Famous TU football coach and player and all that. And so Glenn Dobbs was...
When I got the Drillers, Glenn Dobbs was in Florida working for an automobile company. I hired him and brought him back to run the Drillers.
And Glenn Dobbs was one of the reasons that your ticket sales were so high.
That's absolutely right.
Because Glenn Dobbs could sell anything to anyone.
Right.
And he went all over town selling baseball tickets.
That's right. And he run it for 2 years we were the hard times.
One time, I remember coming to a game and something happened where someone was ill or something and you didn't have enough guys in the concession stand. I walked by, there's Glenn Dobbs flipping hot dogs.
Right. My daughter's worked out here in Glenn Dobbs. I always think of Glenn Dobbs. Of course, he was a tremendous football player. But we were playing, and I can't remember the catcher's name.
I know the story you're about to tell me. It was Russell.
Russell.
Joe Russell.
Joe Russell.
Anyway,
that's right.
So.
Yeah.
Russell.
What's the story?
I'll let you tell it.
They were having infield practice.
Right.
And the catcher was throwing to second base and not doing well. Glenn Dobbs walks by in street shoes with dress pants and a long sleeve shirt. He said, "Son, let me show you how you grip the ball to throw it." And so they rolled out an old tire that they had used when they would set out the tarp over the infield. They would have tires set down there to hold it so the wind blew it up. They rolled out a tire, set the tire on second base. Glenn Dobbs takes a football and winds up and throws it 10 times in a row through that hole. And he said, "Son, you got to grab the ball like you do a baseball and throw it that way." And the players are standing around going, "Who is this old guy?" Their mouths are all dropped open wide. There he is, street shoes, no warming up, no nothing, and throws the ball 10 times through the tire sitting on second base.
That's a great story.
But he basically really did a wonderful job for us.
Was that prior to 81?
Yes.
77 and 78 were the years
that he was here.
With Glenn
President.
Dobbs.
He was president in that year.
And when did Merrill Eckstein come along?
79 to 83.
So Marshall Smith kept him on.
Marshall Smith kept him on because
he was a good worker.
He was a good dynamo. He left here, and he probably still in business somewhere. I don't know where he is.
So then in 82, that's when the talks begin to sell the Drillers to Eddie Childs.
Yes.
That came about then. That happened.
Yes.
Because...
Well, he was one of the owners to start with when it was Red Corbett and all of them. But he took it on personally as a personal thing, not the Texas Rangers.
Correct.
And what he did was, because I wasn't involved in it, basically, he took it back. He personally signed it. And then he ended up selling it back to Wint Hubbard.
Right.
Yeah.
Eddie Childs owned the ball club from 83 through 86.
Okay.
And then in 87, the ball club was sold to Wint Hubbard.
That's right.
Who owned it then for many years?
He owned it from 87 to about 2003 or 2004.
He ended up selling it to Chuck Lampson.
I believe in 04.
Was it 04?
I believe so.
Chuck Lampson had been a pitcher.
Chuck Lampson had come to us in 1978 as a left-handed pitcher for the Drillers. Texas Rangers owned his contract. He got hurt. He hurt his arm. They had to let him go. They released him. He had got acquainted with a lady here in town and was dating a lady in town. He came to me and asked me, and I hired him in the construction business. At that time, I think maybe he sold tickets part-time for the Drillers and worked with one of my crews here in Tulsa in the construction business. And then he ended up going to work full-time for Hubbard.
Did you sense that in him, that he would be that kind of a business mind?
Merrill taught him a lot, and Chuck did a good job. Chuck was a good promoter. He basically did a good job. I think he did a good job.
And then when Hubbard sold it to Chuck Lampson, and he owned it for a couple of years?
I'm guessing maybe five.
5 years.
Maybe five.
Be
right.
Close to it, yeah.
And he oversaw the building of the downtown stadium.
Well, he basically, yes. It was built by the contractor that was built.
Right.
It was Manhattan, I think, who
right.
built it.
But he was the person representing the Drillers. And where should he go? Should he stay here? Should he go downtown?
As a matter of fact, I understand that there was a proposal for him to move to Jinx.
Yeah.
And there was a proposal for him to move downtown. I wasn't involved in that
right.
at all.
There was never a proposal to renovate this park, was there?
No, I believe there was just two plans, either move to Jinx yeah. or move downtown.
They wanted a new park. It was just where we were going to put it.
Yes.
There's new parks in all the cities nowadays. Right. But again, I still hold this park as a fine yeah. place to play baseball.
Even
today, they haven't had a game here in over 3 years. Still, with the exception of the grass growing in the wrong places as we look out on the field, there could be a game here as soon as they put markings on the field.
Yeah.
It's still
yeah.
a wonderful place.
We should just say about Chuck that his personality played well in the public, and he represented the team very, very well, had a very pleasing personality. And then he was caught in this business, is it going to be Jinx, is it going to be downtown, and all the politics that went with that. Wouldn't you agree, though, that if it was going to be a Tulsa driller, it needed to be in Tulsa?
I have no problem with them moving down there. They've got a beautiful ballpark. Again, I'm prejudiced, as you well can understand. But it's wonderful. I'm glad to see Tulsa do as well. We spent an awful lot of money. You remember that $1.5 million I was trying to raise? They spent about $65 million downtown, so that's pretty close.
Right.
But again, they seat something like 6,000, 7,000 down there. And here we were shooting, what, 12,000?
12,000.
Yeah.
But hasn't the philosophy of these newer parks that build them small, we'd rather have overflow than have...
No question. Yeah. They've done a good job. Believe it or not, it probably will help Tulsa yeah. in the long run.
Do you know how well this Driller Stadium is built? This retaining wall down here by the dugouts, tell us about that.
It's that retaining wall all around the dugout is set and dug in solid limestone rock. I know. I watched them shoot it and dig it. So it's there, and this stadium's not going anywhere. It's a shame that it's not being used. But again, I wish Tulsa University would get back into baseball and use this stadium.
Here we are in 2012. And the county doesn't know yet what to do with the stadium. They just don't know what to do
with
it.
Very true. I'm not active in it anymore, but it's a very good facility. And as I say, I'd like CTU to do something with it because it'd be a nice facility for them.
You mentioned Oral Roberts early on, and you had a friendship with Oral Roberts.
Oral had called back in 78 or 79, somewhere in there. He called, and of course we were struggling with the small facility and the temporary stadium and this, that, and the other. And Johnson Stadium was a very nice stadium.
On his campus.
On his right. campus, right. right. He called and asked me if he could schedule a game with the Drillers, if we'd play him. I had talked to the ownership of the Drillers, and as I said, the ownership of the Rangers was always excellent for us. Anything we asked them to do, they did. And they said, if you want to play them, just don't play one of the pitchers. Just go play them, and if it helps the city, do that. And it was Eddie Childs that gave me that okay to do that. We went out, and we were sitting in Johnson Stadium in Oral Roberts' box. He had a kid by the name of Moore.
Mike Moore.
Mike Moore, which was drafted a number one draft, I
right.
believe.
He went on to pitch about 10, 12 years in the major leagues.
Yeah, and they had two or three other kids.
One was Tom Nieto, yeah. who was a player for many years. He's right. also a, right. a manager in minor league ball.
Right. But anyway, they had four kids, and that was all that was going to be drafted by the majors at that time. Mr. Roberts said, do you think, Bill, that we can beat you all? I told him, I said, sure you can. But, you know, if we really wanted to play and really work at it, you couldn't beat us. He said, I don't understand how you say it, why you would say that. He said, I said, well, we just talked about it, and you've got four young men that's going to be drafted by the major leagues. He said, yeah. He said, that's good. And I said, yeah. The Drillers have 25 of those people that were drafted. And he looked at me and he said, you're smarter than I thought you were. But he was a very alert man, very smart man.
Yeah.
And by the way, they did beat us.
Really?
Yes. One man played 9 different positions. Is that right?
Well, that was Marty Scott.
Yeah.
Who played in the majors a little and has
managed
in the minor leagues for a number of years.
I guess he still is. I don't know.
I think so.
Marty played all 9 positions. Our kids were just having fun out there. They were trying to win. But it was a good thing for the community. It was a good thing for Roberts.